24 minutes to 8. We commenced yesterday with a discussion on verse 189 of Surah Al-A'raf, and specifically the first sentence where Allah Ta'ala mentions, هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها. It is He who created you from a single soul and made a spouse from there so that He may find comfort from her. It is He who created you from a single soul and made a spouse from there so that He may find comfort from her. We explained yesterday that one of the objects of marriage is that the couple comfort and love each other. And for that to happen, you need to follow a particular criteria. You need to make effort. You cannot just expect it to happen. You cannot just expect it to be there simply because your marriage has been solemnized and you are now formally committed to each other. It starts even before marriage. We spoke yesterday that at the time of choosing a partner, a person should first look for piety and good character instead of a mere physical beauty and wealth. Yes, physical beauty has its place. Compatibility in terms of wealth and that kind of thing has its place, but piety and good character is paramount, because that will help you to fulfill that objective of marriage, and that is to be of comfort and love to each other. And then we also mentioned that marriage is something which is endorsed and advocated, encouraged in the Sharia, because men have natural needs, men and women. Secondly, procreation has to take place. That's just the reality of life. There are those people who say, but why do you reduce marriage to only being about making children? No, I don't think anyone is reducing marriage to only being about making children, because people, Muslims, stay married long after the wife and has passed the childbearing age. You know, they become grandparents together, they become great-grandparents together, the marriage still exists. But it's a very important component, because, you know, the human race needs to continue. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, marry such women who are loving and able to bear children, for I shall boast about your numbers before the other ummas on the day of Qiyamah. And then we concluded yesterday by mentioning that you will never get a perfect package. You will never get your perfect husband or a perfect wife. That only happens in the movies. It only happens in the novels. And that also is just fiction. In reality, it'll only happen in Jannah. So if you dislike one thing, there are many other things that you actually like. You just need to go beyond the 90-10 syndrome, where you focus on the 10% that you don't have, but you don't focus on the 90% that you do have. There's always something in your spouse that you won't like, but then there are other things that you would like. So focus on those things that you do. If you only focus on what you don't like, you will never be satisfied in life, in any aspect. Whether it's your boss, there'll always be something about him that you don't like. Whether it's your employee, there'll always be something that you don't like. Your friends, your neighbors, your parents, your siblings, everyone, everywhere. You are not going to find a perfect package. You're not living and you are not married and you are not interacting with angels. Taking the discussion further, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the most perfect believer is the one with the best character. And those with the best character from you are those who are the best towards their wives. So, you know, Islam and women's rights, this hadith speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, you know what, every human endeavors to be the best. And the best of the best are those who are the best in deen. But you will never be the best in deen. You will never be the best of the best. Your piety is incomplete. As a Muslim, you are incomplete until you are not good to your wives. Strive towards that goal of being the best by being good to your wives. There is another hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that the person who has been blessed with four things has received the good of this world as well as the after. Qalban shakiran, he has a grateful heart. A tongue which is occupied in the remembrance of Allah, a body that can endure hardships, and a wife that does not betray him with regards to her body and his wealth. This narration is in Bayhaqi. So, you know, your wife may have imperfections. She may have her moods. She may have her shortcomings. But if she's not betraying you physically, and she's not betraying you in terms of your wealth, which you have entrusted with her, you're not there the whole day to see what she's doing with your car and your money and everything else. Those two things, if you've got in your marriage, your wife is faithful to you, she's loyal to you, she's honest. Subhanallah, you've got, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, you've got one quarter of good fortune in this world. The other three quarters have got to do with yourself, having a grateful heart, having a tongue that's engrossed in the remembrance of Allah, and a body that can endure hardship. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the woman who performs five salah, fast in Ramadan, protects her chastity and is obedient to her husband, may enter Jannah from whichever door she pleases. Whichever door she pleases. You know, sometimes we think excitement is outside. Sometimes we think that, you know, the real women are there outside. Look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi of Allah said, be steadfast with your salah, fast in Ramadan, protect your chastity and be obedient to your husband. You will enter Jannah by whichever door you please. Whichever door you please. Men and women in Islam, we say this repeatedly and regularly, are created equal but not identical. Men have certain quality traits, women have other quality traits. At certain things men are better, and other things women are better. And then structurally, there needs to be a person who bears the responsibility, who makes the ultimate decision. That's also how it works in this world. The president and the vice president, the president and the ministers, the president and MPs, the president and ordinary citizens are equal as humans. They are equal as citizens of the country. But in terms of the structure of the politics, the president obviously has a rank. In your company, you and your boss are equal as humans. You are equal as Muslims, for example, if both of you are Muslims. But in terms of the structure of the company, he has rank over you. Sure, both of you are partners. Both of you need to work together to make the company work. Similarly, you know, the ministers need to work with the president in order for cabinet to function. But there needs to be the one that holds a higher rank in order for decision making and in order for things to flow procedurally. And that's how you should understand this whole concept of you know, men being given that added responsibility. It does not mean that men now can oppress and they can do things which are beyond the parameters of the Sharia. Their goodness and their greatness rests with them being good to their wives. That's what we need to understand. That is something which is pivotal and integral. So we make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grants us that understanding. Remember, once again, I'm saying that in order to really enjoy, you know, the bliss of marriage, you need to make an effort, a continuous effort. Unfortunately, it's not a once-off effort. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make it easy for us.